This is the Pure Green Podcast, Episode 2. Bravery isn't the kind of thing you measure, it's the kind of thing you activate. These words, written by Hannah Bruncher, are perfectly suited towards today's guest, Bobbi Bankston. Bravery is a complicated thing, but in this humbling life, it can simply mean putting your best self forward day after day, working relentlessly, both mentally and physically, towards your dreams. As Bobbi would say, do something just to gain momentum, to know that you can, and then follow your instincts. Awesome. Welcome to the second episode of the Pure Green Podcast. I'm your host, Celine McKay, the founder and editor of Pure Green, an independent magazine for inspired, conscious living. Thanks for joining me again today, now that I've gotten my feet wet after last week's episode with Laura Lee. Already, I'm having so much fun, learning so much as I go, and looking forward to each new interview every week. In this episode, we're talking with Bobbi Bankston, the owner and founder of the Mason Bar Company, which manufactures these great little lids to transform mason jars into takeaway cups, along with straws and leather cuffs to accessorize your jar. The products are great, really cute too, and create yet another use for the unassuming mason jar, that utilitarian workhorse. Bobbi is so great because she feels like the girl next door. She's adorable, approachable, a mother of three, and she happens to be rocking her business. In just 3 short years, she took the Mason Bar Company from an Etsy experiment to a thriving wholesale business, shipping thousands of units a week. Her success inspires me. She's so humble about it, but you can tell there's a lot of expertise behind that bubbly facade. In the show, we talk about how she tried on many different careers before landing on a winner, how if she didn't take a chance on a harebrained idea, she would have missed a great opportunity, about trying to be brave, and how she balances family with her work. As with last week's episode, this is part of a mini-series on creative entrepreneurial mothers to go with our current issue on family. Go on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Bobbi to catch a glimpse behind the scenes of Bobby's work. Let's go to the show. Once again, thank you for being part of the show. And so tell us about yourself, Bobbi, and describe your business for us.
Sure. Well, I am married actually 16 years this month. Woo woo.
Yeah, wow.
So that's exciting. And I have 3 sons, Cade, Cooper, and Cruz. They're 11, 8, and 5. And so that's my priority, my loves of my life. I own the Mason Bar Company in Northern California, and we actually just celebrated 3 years in August. So it's gone by quick, it's been so exciting to see the changes, over the past 3 years, and moving into retail space last year, and we're actually looking to move again into a bigger space in December. So, Mason Bar Company world, and I manufacture drinking lid tops for the Everyday Mason Jar, and we sell. So the lid tops, that's our base product, but we've expanded on that and also hand make cuffs to go on the jars. And we're now doing some doing a shop local campaign with totes, and have some really fun, exciting collaborations coming up this next year too for other mason jar tumbler accessories. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that, obviously being with a name like Pure Green, uh-huh. We have a focus on sustainable and conscious living. Uh-huh. And so obviously I was attracted to what you do, because you help reduce disposable takeaway cups,
yeah.
and,
and help make an everyday item, give it another use. Because I know I personally have a cupboard full of empty mason jars, you know, once I've used up the preserves or whatever I had in them. They're just sitting there, so it's a really awesome use for them. And I love how stylish and cute what you your lids and cuffs are. It gives it
a bit of
you know, playfulness and fun.
Yeah. It you know, and that's where the idea came from. Was just simply using, you know, the jars in the cupboard, but using them outside the house, on the road. And, you know, I'd always do like a nice latte on my way to pick up the kids from school. And I didn't like the inconvenience of having to take off the entire, you know, canning jar lid, the standard lid. I'm like, let's put a hole in this thing, make this work. And so it is really great. I love that part of the business is that it goes just a little bit deeper than just a product. You know, that people can take what, you know, that used to be their grandma's. I have a lot of people, not a lot. I've had several people consistently write in and say, I'm so excited I get to use this jar. My grandma gave this to me, and, you know, it's been sitting, or it's decoration, or all this. But, you know, they kind of, there's so many uses and so many different attachments to what a canning jar is, you know, to some people. So,
yeah. So was that what you just described? Mm-hmm. Was that the inspiration that sort of led you to start your business?
It was just the need for convenience, mm-hmm. and, you know, and wanting to sip my latte while I was in the car without the hassle of taking off the lid. So mm-hmm. it just came up in conversation, me and two of my close friends, Jody being one of them, and like, we need to figure out how to put a hole in this metal lid so we can put a straw in it. And it just, one thing led to another. It was, that's it. And I just kind of went out on a leap of faith and opened a little Etsy shop making, jewelry, which mm-hmm. is really funny because I'm not a jewelry maker, but I just like, I have to do this. And I did. And so, at the time that the lid idea came up, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to throw it out there, throw it out to the world, see what happens. And it transformed the shop within 2 months, and then transformed my life within, 6 months. It was very clear and evident that's where, you know, my focus and my heart would be for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. So when you say it transformed your life, mm-hmm. just in the sense that it gave you a sense of purpose, or just that the sales really took off and you felt like you had a viable business that you could develop?
Yeah. Both, actually. When I said I went out on a leap of faith to open my first Etsy shop, I was in a really, really tough spot with my career, and that, mm-hmm. you know, I've always worked for myself. I've always, you know, either done real estate, or, you know, I did skincare for a while and ran my own little, you know, skincare room. And, so I've always loved working. I've always loved business. But at the time that I opened that first Etsy shop, it was really kind of a desperate time in my life, and that I wasn't where I wanted to be, and I didn't have that spark, that something, and I was just really searching for something to really call my own and be passionate about, and I didn't know where to go. And that's why the whole jewelry making thing was so funny. My poor husband, like, and how much do you sell these for? Like, you know, told him, he goes, and how long does it take you to make one? And I told him, and it was like, we just had to laugh, but he, you know, he was so great, and he's always been so supportive, and it was like a good luck with that. You know what I mean? It was just, it was crazy, but I don't think that if I would have started that first shop, and I don't think that I would have taken the chance on the mason jar tumbler. And so I kind of see it that way. And like, you know what, I'm really grateful that I was at a point where I really just took a leap and going, I'm going to do this. It makes no sense whatsoever. And it was really just my prayer at the time that I would, you know, have something to call my own and something to, like, a creative outlet and a business of my own. And so that jewelry business made absolutely no sense, but I think it was a, it was an open door and a platform for what was, you know, meant to be an upcoming with the what transformed into the Mason Bar Company.
Right. Yeah. Now, what was your, you said you were really searching for something to call your mm-hmm. own. Now at this point, if you've had the Mason Bar Company mm-hmm. up and running for 3 years, that means you had children previous to starting up your company. Mm-hmm. So what was life like before the Mason Bar Company?
Well, I've always worked. And so let's see, my youngest was about a year old. When I started managing a friend's restaurant, and that was just something that had to happen, you know, for personal, you know, financial things for our what our family needed at the time, and it was just kind of like that, you know, suck it up and buck up type thing, and
know,
and I'm willing to do that, and that's really what made me think of, you know, our life and time. And and I just started really waking up in the morning not happy about what the day would bring, because I knew, and it just wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so at the end of that run, I'm like, okay, time to start thinking outside the box and something to call my own, meaning business, meaning a career, meaning my hand on something that I truly loved. Because I, you know, I knew it was there. It was just getting to that point or finding what that something was. And so, yeah, did that answer your question?
Yeah,
I get
no,
off
it
on
did.
Tangents, so just reel me back in if you have to, okay?
That's quite all right. One thing you should know is I don't have these interviews pre-scripted at all. I just roll with it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so wherever it leads us is awesome.
Yay.
Yeah. So you said then one thing that I heard in what you uh-huh. said there is that you were looking for a business mm-hmm. of your own. So being an entrepreneur,
yeah.
is that something that you always wanted to do? It was always, you know, part of your dream?
Oh,
or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I think I always enjoyed, you know, I did real estate for a while, and I really enjoyed that because I could get creative with it. I adore people. You know, I really love working with people, and it was still kind of my own deal, but I was always, you know, obviously underneath the broker, and was at the salon doing skincare. It was my own little world that I could work with and, you know, expand upon and do my own marketing and, you know, grow, and everything was up to me. And I've always loved that challenge. But of course I was, you know, it was not my salon. It was the owner's. I've always had, that kind of, spirit naturally growing up and stuff. And, like I said, I really like working. It's not something I've ever shied away from. So even mm-hmm. at home when I have the boys and, you know, I like to be busy. I'm always looking for something and I always have ideas. but it was great to have that idea come up and have, like I said, you know, my husband really support it and go, all right, it's a good idea. Okay, you know, let's see what happens. And so waking up in the morning right now and comparing it to 3.5 years ago, it feels like an absolute miracle that I get to wake up excited every day, that I get to use all of my talents, and that I get to meet people and grow this amazing, beautiful thing. And from where it started to where it is now and where I know it's going, just makes life really exciting.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And, you know, one thing, too, is that I find when you have that purpose, it makes you a better parent mm-hmm. at the same time, because you just
Absolutely.
You feel excited within your own body, and then you're more energetic
yeah.
and, you know, positive towards your kids,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, my journey the last few years has definitely played into motherhood, and it's made me realize a lot of things about life in general, about, you know, what big dreaming really is, and what that means, and what it's meant to me, and, you know, taking leaps of faith. And you know, my boys have been right along there with me. I mean, my oldest is 11, so he remembers it all. You know, he remembers me working on weekends at the restaurant, and he remembers me starting jewelry. You know, so I think it's really neat that that they've grown with me, and they've seen really great things happen from their mom, you know, trying to be brave. I'm serious. Yeah, just you know, little steps of bravery, and how that's affected our family in a really positive way.
So yeah, absolutely. What kind of ways would you say it's manifested the most?
Time is a lot more balanced now, and that sounds crazy because the business is just, you know, it's growing and growing, and it's getting busier. But as it's gotten busier, I've been able to delegate more. And with the delegation, I keep my same hours. So I work about 30 hours a week, and I work when the boys are all in school. My youngest is in preschool. And so I drop them off at 8 o'clock. I start work at 8:30 and I leave the office at 2:30 Monday through Friday. If they have a day off of school, I usually take the day off from the shop. Or, you know, I can work from home a little bit. That's always a nice option. So it's honestly, I think, brought balance for me because I have such intense focused time when I'm working that I work hard. But as soon as I'm done, I'm done. And, you know, I'll do a little bit here and there, maybe, but my goal daily is to switch gears when I walk out the door. Because, you know, it's a very different mentality. It's a completely different world when when I'm here at the warehouse and when I'm at home with my kids. So, somebody's knocking on my door, of course. There's knocks on the doors, people. So I think it's been really nice that I've had the luxury of coming to work and working, and when I'm done, then I'm mom. And I think that's really important to have, you know, it's always going to be intermixed here and there, but I think it can, there can be a balance and a healthy, you know, a healthy way to do that so that everybody's good.
Mm-hmm. You said a lot in that last little bit that I wanted to touch on, but one of the things that I wanted to comment on was when you said before about, you know, how starting your own business really made you more feel more fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
And I think that one of the things that entrepreneurial mothers struggle with a lot, or at least it's a perception that's pretty widely out there, is that you feel guilt about feeling so... you know, like your attention is so divided.
Sure.
Like I know that when I'm with my little girl, her name's Charlie, she's 18 months old. You know, when I'm with her, I'm thinking about all the work that I'm not getting done.
Uh-huh.
But when I work, I'm thinking of the time I'm not spending with her.
Uh-huh.
And it's this kind of juggling act that you're, you know, it's a tug of war within yourself. It's tough to sort of master that and get on top of those feelings that you're in a good place. But, you know, I think looking at it from that perspective of really feeling fulfilled so that you can project a positive attitude towards your kids and towards your life more generally. I think that's really, it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, well, and it's taken a long time for me to be at the point where I am now to have the willpower. I really love my business. I like all of it. It's really easy for me to be on the computer because I want to update something or, you know, switch out photos or something. It is on my mind a lot because I love it so much, but it has taken a while to understand the importance of using self-control in my time and mentally. That has not come easy, and it's a daily challenge that is definitely, it's always a struggle because of social media and, you know, how accessible, you know, things are in our business world when we're sitting next to our kids, you know, on the couch or whatever. And that's another thing that my husband and I have, really been, setting goals for is intentional focus time away from without phones and without, you know, the push notifications going off as distractions, like, oh, but I need to, oh, but I want to, you know, and picking up that mm-hmm. device and, you know, really, really saying it's so easy to do. And I know we all know that, but even if it's just weekends, that's what our goal is right now is, all right, okay, on weekends, our phone's going to be for phone calls, you know, communication with people who we need to communicate. But outside of that, you know, with Instagram and Facebook and all that, that it's really set aside to focus on our time together as a family. And that feels really good.
Absolutely. I think, as you know, our phones or, you know, the accessibility of social media, yes. the internet, all of that stuff, it's such a distraction mm-hmm. for a regular person, yeah. but for an entrepreneur, it takes on a whole new life yeah. because then all of a sudden you feel like you're missing out on opportunities. Yeah. You're losing a chance to earn money yeah. or sell a product or whatever, yeah. you know, like you feel like maybe I'm just missing that crucial yeah. email, you know, in this day and age where people just expect that mm-hmm. quick turnaround. It's hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think the more that we exercise self-control and prioritize our kids over those, you know, messages or those possible opportunities, I think the more we prioritize them and let go of that what if, you know, obviously, you know, everything has its exception. But in general, I think again, I keep saying prioritizing our time with them or with family will always pay off. I think it's just kind of a, you know, I think that that life brings good things to those who are, you know, are diligent and intentional in the way that they love and, you know, even run their business. And when family's put first, I think that plays into, I think that it plays into business and that, that we're always blessed for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love what you said there, letting go of the what if.
Mm-hmm.
If that's great. And you know what, too? I think prioritizing, you mentioned that you're saying that a lot, but honestly, I think that is one of the number one principles when it comes to running a business mm-hmm. simultaneously. It's raising children. There's absolutely no other way around it. You have to prioritize things. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes it's your business, depending on the time of day, and you know, and then it's time to shift over into your kids.
Yeah.
And it can be difficult, I find, in my personal life to make that shift sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to, be focused about it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier about exercising mental willpower. Do you have any tips or tricks that you use? or advice?
Let's see. Well, honestly, I think putting the phone away and moving it away, flipping it upside down so that you can't see it mm-hmm. is helpful. I catch my eyes. I catch my eyes constantly going there. that sounds silly. But even just removing it when I'm home, I've been trying to put it in my bedroom. And even in my bedroom, I put it upside down so that if it rings, you know, if there's an emergency or whatever, and it rings, I can hear it. But it's not like looking at me all the time, and I'm not wanting to look at it or think about what's going on if I put it away. I also leave and that's hard too if you work from home, your computer's at home, but even sometimes if, you know, if your office is in one of your bedrooms, simply just shutting the door and closing your computer down. Again, that sounds really, really silly, but I think it can be simple things like that to help us switch gears and mm-hmm. And consciously say, you know, in doing that, I'm choosing that, you know, this part of the day is for Charlie, or I'm done working.
Yep.
Computer closed. And then I think it's harder to open that computer back up if you're really not supposed to, you know, for what you've set up for yourself in the day.
Yep.
It's just, does that make sense? Is that, it probably sounds crazy, but
No, absolutely. It's what simply, works for you.
Yeah, just, you know, turning the lights off, closing the door. And mine, I always want to bring my computer home. I want to because I like, because I enjoy my work. But I shouldn't because it's not what, you know, is best for my family. And I have to balance that time. So again, for me too, it's a daily struggle, and it's a constant effort to prioritize and choose where and, you know, who I'm spending my time with, if it's my customers or if it's my boys.
Exactly. I know the temptation to bring your computer home or your work home with you, it's always so strong. And in my mind, I'm always like, well, I can work after Charlie's in bed. But what I've learned is that really you need some time to yourself as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't forget that in this equation. You know, there's your business, there's your children, and then there's you. Yeah. And you need that time for yourself,
Yeah,
too.
And I've thought about that because I'm always wanting to do, you know, do things when the kids go to sleep. And if it's, you know, if there's a deadline or something really needs to be done, then I will. You know, like I said, there's always exceptions. But if it's just a normal day and you know that you can return messages, one of the things that I like to do is journal. And that's just, you know, journaling business ideas because it's where my brain is all the time. And so getting the pen out and writing and having, you know, compiling just different feelings or, you know, thoughts on events and upcoming, you know, fun things. That's a way too, as an entrepreneur, you're always, you know, you're always craving that, that need to produce, I think. And so I think that's a really healthy way, if it's on your mind, to get it out is just is using an actual pen.
Yeah. Yes, very true. Yeah, there's something about committing thoughts to paper. It just feels more process oriented. Yeah. You sort of explore your thoughts a little bit deeper that way.
Absolutely.
What about your business? Like, I'm curious as to the evolution of, you know, in 3 short years, how you've achieved that growth and, and sort of what was it like from the beginning up to where you are now?
Let's see. The first mason jar tumbler I ever sold was to a girl. Actually, I don't know how old she is. I was thinking she's married and she was living in Manhattan, I believe, and she's from Canada. She's from the country, and she was shopping Etsy and saw that I had had them in my shop, and so it was the first one I sent out, and I'm pretty sure I sent it out. I didn't even have a box. I didn't, like, had no shipping supplies, no nothing. Yeah, totally ridiculous. So I'm pretty sure I shipped it out in a shoebox. and when she wrote me back, or I checked in with her because I was so excited, you know, said, how is it working? And this is when I was making them by hand, of course, you know, like taking my hammer and punching, you know, the like hole through the lid. And she had the cutest feedback for me, and it was just I'm from the country and this reminds me of home, so thank you. And I won't ever forget that, because it just meant it meant a lot to me that it was my first sale, and it was more than just a product, you know. I loved that feedback, and I think it really taught me from day one, that it was going to be a really, special journey, and that it was going to be more about, it was going to be more about money, and it would be, you know, it would be my story, and that I would get to work with people who, you know, who felt something, besides just like, oh, hey, thanks for my cool jar, you know. And we've just gotten so many great stories back from people who enjoy the product. And my first shipment, not pretty, not good, horrible. I'm sorry, you know, cute girl from Manhattan, that it did not arrive in a typical Etsy fashion, looking wonderful. So it's just been, it's been funny because I feel like right now, from month to month, is just insanely different. And a year ago was unrecognizable. And the year before that, I was working out of my third bedroom out of my house. That's like a 10 by 10 room. And I was stoked just to have a small workspace and a makeshift desk from a friend. And it was hideous. And I loved it so much. So it was just me for a really long time, and I would just work nights and turn up my music and just kind of go for it. So I think I sold the first one, and then it took a couple weeks, and then it just slowly, it, ever since, it's just been slowly just growing and growing, and then it goes faster and faster and faster. And so it's been, yeah, moving from, actually my dining room is where I started, to the third bedroom where I kicked my baby out. I'm like, all right, you're old enough. You're a year old. Go sleep in your bed. And then it, we moved into our first, this first warehouse space a year ago, September. And I think we, I'm hoping to secure my lease on a new building for December. That's twice the size.
Wow.
Because we're busting out of the seams. And so, yeah, I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 employees. And then we have an alternate team of girls that come in once a month and work for like a week at a time for one of our largest accounts in Canada, actually. So we have, we sometimes we have 12 people in the warehouse, and it's great. And we're shipping out 4,000 units on Monday.
Wow.
And so we, you know, we've learned how to do that and go through customs and, you know, fill out all these intimidating, horrible forms. The first time I did, I'm like, hold my hand, babysit me, because I know nothing.
Yes.
Because I truly don't. I don't know anything. It's just all, it's Google. I've been Googling, and I'm serious, and, you know, just like learning how to grow this crazy, awesome business, and using, you know, my passions for, you know, for the business, but just truly Googling and feeling my way through, using my resources, and loving the challenges that, just keep coming. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm so impressed. Oh my goodness, Bobby, this is great. So I'm curious, who is your biggest account in Canada?
Oh, sure. It's, Chapters Indigo, the book and music
store. Oh, wow. Yeah, of course, of course. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like for our American listeners, it's sort of
like Barnes and Noble. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the head buyer in the housewares department was using her mason jar tumbler that she had bought from one of our, you know, wholesale accounts, one of our vendors here in the U.S. And she said that the first week she had it on her desk, she had, you know, a dozen people or more stop by. Oh, my gosh, that's really cool. Where can I get one of those? And she's head of housewares, or I don't know if she's head. She's a housewares buyer.
Yep.
And so she's like, hey, we're interested. I think this would go over well. And the first one they purchased, the first order was back in April, and I think they purchased 600. And I think it was not even a week after they were on the shelf. She got back to me and she's like, these are doing great. All right. And, so they forecasted 2014 from there. So I think we, oh my gosh, I don't know how many we've shipped, like over 15,000, I think.
Oh my goodness.
So,
wow.
It's been so exciting. So scary. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? Again, that's just one of those things like, hey, I don't even know how long this is going to take, you know, and it's building up inventory and really learning how to be creative with, you know, finances and making things work. And I I don't take out loans. It's just one of my things from where I started. I started with no money in my account and I just made it work. And I just, I don't know. It's kind of a very untraditional, way of doing business, but I kind of enjoy being untraditional. And so, working with Indigo and growing with them has been a crazy challenge, but mm-hmm. very rewarding, and they're wonderful. And so, we shipped out 4,000 a couple weeks ago and another 4 on Monday, and that'll be it for this year. So I'm really looking forward to working with them more in 2015.
Wow, that's incredible. Good for you. So one thing I'm curious about, I have so many questions, I'm bursting at the seams. But anyway, what you just said recently, I'll jump on that, mm-hmm. in terms of not taking out loans. That is something that, you know, it's sort of the dark side of entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
You know, of running your own business,
yeah.
is this whole thing about money. Uh-huh. And I know for a lot of people, it's a scary thing. And for me as well, like my strength is the creative uh-huh. element, and that's where I thrive. Uh-huh. And when it comes to, you know, to paying bills, I get scared,
yeah.
or getting in debt, or doing, you know, every print run that we do, it's
yeah.
this huge chunk of cash,
yeah.
and it sets me on edge. So how have you managed it without taking loans? Like, for example, when you get a big order, mm-hmm. this 4,000, you know, uh-huh. 4,000 lids or units.
Yeah.
What is your process like?
Honestly, I, you know, it was really nice for me that, because that's the largest amount we've ever done before. Mm-hmm. It helped me that they forecasted the whole year back in May, I think. And so for the next 4 runs, I knew how much inventory I needed. So I didn't necessarily need to buy everything for the year at one time. So I just did as much as I absolutely had to do to make it work. It just worked out. And then, you know, working off of just being obviously frugal in, you know, ways that I can and that I'm capable of doing. We are very simple. We're not extravagant as far as, you know, personally and stuff. So mm-hmm. a lot of what I have, I put back in the business until we, you know, can afford to go on vacation, or like I was telling you, my husband and I's 16-year anniversary. We don't travel very much, because, you know, we're growing a business, and growing the business, financially means putting money really back, you know, back into it and saving up and, you know, being prepared for that next run. Mm-hmm. So that when, you know, when that invoice is paid, it's like, okay, now we pay our bills and now we do this. And it's just being a good steward with what we have, and not feeling too free, I guess, with anything extra, because it's truly not extra when you are, you know, growing a business, because there's just mm-hmm. these, you know, unexpected things coming up and just... Yeah, I don't know. I try and thrift most of my clothes. I love that. I enjoy it. It's so cheap, so I just don't spend a whole lot of money, and I think that does help young businesses, is when you can be you know, frugal personally, so you don't feel like, you know, like your world gets turned upside down if you don't have a whole lot to work with.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like
you just have smart business sense.
I try. Not always.
Yeah. No, it does sound like
you
do.
Don't talk to my bookkeeper. No, I'm kidding.
So I'm curious as well then about what your main growth strategies have been, but also what you feel the keys to your success have been. Because, sure. It's absolutely fabulous that you've had that kind of success, mm-hmm. but it's not everyone mm-hmm. that has that kind of success.
Yeah.
So you obviously struck a chord with the market.
Uh-huh.
You found something that resonated with your customers.
Uh-huh.
So that was key, obviously. But do you feel like there's anything else that you've done personally that really helped your business succeed?
Sure. Well, I'm truly grateful to live in this day and this time of social media, as hard as it is on some of us, you know, for the, you know, addiction of it, or, you know, the feelings we get from it, or being overwhelmed by all these things. It's a beautiful, miraculous tool for business. I'm so grateful for social media. It is like the lifeline of the Mason Bar Company. And so I've been using Instagram mainly, focusing on that for about a year. And that is just, like I said, it's pretty much our lifeline. The Etsy platform, I love that marketplace. I'll always love it. It's, you know, where we started. We have a regular website too. It's really funny. Can I go off on a tangent for a minute? It's really funny the difference between customers that shop Etsy and customers that go directly to our website. When people shop our website, they, when we have customer service, like feedback or issues, you know, of course there's issues that come up. Oh, hey, I only got, you know, one and not two, or my straw was broken or something. The difference in tone is night and day. It's so crazy. People customers are so sweet to us on Etsy, because I think they see us more, it's like more personal, and that's just like, go Etsy admin. Well done. Keep up the good work, and thank you for making everyone like look like a person and not you know, this cold, drab, you know, yucky, just company out for to make a buck. The tone through the website is just, it's so much different. It's really weird. I never expected that. But people don't see us like as a small business on the website. They they really feel like, I don't know, like they're gonna have a hard time reaching us, or you know what I mean. So that's my plug for Etsy, and I don't work for them. I'm just a fan. What was the question? This is typical for me, Celine.
What was the question? No. I wanted to know what you felt your main keys to success were.
I think utilizing social media in a, I'm very intentional. When I use it, I don't use it. I try not to overuse it. I try not to, you know, underuse it. I try and be consistent without being annoying and obnoxious. I feel like that's one part that has really worked in our favor. It's very true to who I am and kind of where my heart in the company and, my deep gratitude for my customers. I try to relay those things through our feeds. And I think that's important, for business, that people know where you're coming from and that your customers know that, you know, that you're a hardworking, you know, business person who, is thankful for them and, you know, that it's not just all product shots, you know, but it's personal too. And balancing that's a really, we've done a workshop on that and it was really fun, chatting with other people and, you know, your takes on how to use it and what's good and what's not good. It can be kind of complicated, but I just try to, we do our best with social media and it's been awesome and I'm so grateful for it. And then the other thing I think is just, honestly, I think, not just me, but my team here at the warehouse, we're all very, very passionate about the company. I think our passion plays a lot into, our customer service, and our level of service, you know, when it comes to just the little details that we truly enjoy putting into each package and, each tumbler, you know, and our quotes that we like to give customers, not because, I don't know, we're just really passionate about the platform we have to, share, goodness. And we feel like we've been really blessed to be where we're at, and we, it's nice to be able to have people to share that with. And all of our quotes that we put on the back of our, there are inserts that go in the jars and stuff. The backside is blank. And so, monthly we write up new designs for it. And usually they're, some kind of inspirational quote or saying, or sometimes it just comes from me, and what, you know, what I'm going through in life. And I like connecting with our customers that way, that it is personal. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't know, this is helping me and I hope it helps other people. Because like I said, from the very beginning, I knew that what I was being given, and the opportunity, for the Mason Jar Tumbler and what it was, a lot more than just paying my bills. So.
Yeah. Wow. You have a really inspiring view on your business, Bobby. So, I applaud you for that. I feel like I could talk to you forever about this, but I know we're coming up to the end of our time.
Okay.
So I have two last questions for you.
Right.
And so one was, I know that you recently took a trip to Uganda.
Uh-huh.
I know that had some personal meaning for you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Gosh, you must be really good at this because you can get people to cry on your podcast.
Aww.
Okay,
well,
I'll try not to. I promise I won't cry. Let's see. I will make the long story short since we're running out of time, but that's a whole other deal in itself, and it's a really great story. It was about a year and a half ago that I saw that the business was growing, and I realized that it was time that I find some kind of outlet to give back, and water was on my mind, on my heart. I'm like, gosh, you know, it just makes sense that if I can help, you know, with water. I mean, honestly, it was not anything specific. It was a very general idea in my head about using water as a way, you know, for Mason Bar Company to give back. So, long story short, there's this amazing young family that went to my church. They had just started a nonprofit doing clean water projects in Uganda. And the way it came together is really beautiful. But it was just really, it was really important to me to dive in to what they had going on. And they invited me to go on their trip. It was just them and me and my two oldest. And they invited us to go with them and to see, you know, in person what they were doing. And it's called the Global Belief Project. And it's incredible, life-changing, absolutely, by far the greatest experience of my life. I cannot wait to go back. And I've always said, all growing up, like, gosh, who wants to go to Africa? In my mind, like what I had grown up with, it was like, you know, I don't know. Why would you want to go there? I'm thinking, I want to go to Paris. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm serious. And that sounds really terrible. But we actually did go to Paris. So it's really funny that, that the trip turned out the way it did. I've never been to Europe. My kids had never even been on an airplane before. And we pick up and go to Uganda. It was amazing. They did great. They loved every moment. We weren't ready to come home. We were gone for 3 weeks. We got to see thousands of people's lives change through clean water and what it truly, truly means to live without accessible clean water and what, you know, how that burdens so many people's lives around the globe. So to be there in the middle of the village, in the jungle, in Jinja, and to, we didn't want to come home. It was a really, really homey place. I loved the culture. We are hoping to go back this next summer, and I'm going to rally my troops and take some of my girls with me, so that we can help. We don't actually do like the well repair because we don't know how, but we can help, raise funds to take to Jinja so that these wells that are broken will be repaired. Sometimes it's like $200 US dollars to fix these broken wells
Crazy.
And it affects thousands of people. Wow. And so the women don't have to walk for miles every day and carry, you know, 50, 40 pound jerry cans on their head. It frees them up to live, like truly, truly just live their life because they can walk, you know, maybe a quarter of a mile and they get clean water from the well. And it's just, it's so amazing. So, Uganda, it was for clean water projects with the Global Belief Project, and, everybody can go check out their website. They have an amazing campaign coming up for 2015 that we are supporting and can't wait to be a part of. It hasn't really been announced yet, but it's in the works. And that's why we went. And I can't wait to go back. We did see Paris, and it was great. And then by the end of the day, we're like, all right, Jinja, here we come. We were like, check off the list. And our hearts are like, are truly there. And it's just really neat to be, fortunate enough to have the company, be able to support, life change. So.
Wow. Well, I really applaud you, Bobby. That's fabulous. This is such a nice story. And, I can tell, I can hear through your voice how much it means to you. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the show notes, I'll add the website for that company that you mentioned.
Awesome. I also
know I'll put a link to, I know you wrote some blog posts when you returned from that trip about your thoughts and perspectives on that. I'll include that too.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, yeah, of course. So lastly, just to culminate, what would your advice be to someone just starting out on their entrepreneurial adventure? Mm. With small children as a mother
I would say,
it's a hard question. I know.
No, you know what? I have so much. I really love sharing actually with this demographic, because you know, it's so close to my heart. I would say be brave. Have a support group from like-minded people. And one of the things that, you know, I like to tell people and remind them of, because it's just, it's hard, but not to seek advice from someone who's not your customer or who's not your target customer, you know, like a sibling who, you know, like your brother, if you're making hair bows, don't ask your brother what he thinks about how your Etsy shop looks. We do that. So as humans, you're like, oh, okay, because we have, you know, we have these people in our lives that we want to include in all these, you know, exciting new ventures or new parts. And every tiny little step of the way of a new business is exciting. Every tiny little thing. I get like, I mean, I'm showing Chad all the time. Ooh, did you see this? I'm so proud. I actually used the camera and it looked decent today. You know, it's every tiny baby step is something to celebrate. And I think, I'd encourage that. I'm helping a friend right now, one of my girls who works with me, and she is launching an Etsy shop, this next week. And I, you know, that's what I've been I keep telling her, cause she's terrified. She has this great product, but you know, everything is so foreign to her, and connecting your, you know, PayPal accounts and making it all flow and work, baby steps. You have to start. You have to find that, dig deep. You find that bravery, because you know that, you know, if you don't do it, you'll regret it. And that's been one of my biggest things is going, man, you know, a year from now, I don't want to regret that. I'd rather try and I'd rather it be crazy and silly, or, you know, I tell people stuff all the time because I'm excited, and then they shoot it down. I mean, random people, because I'm always talking and I love people. And so I'm like, oh, guess what my new idea is? And I get this, you know, I get this response that I don't want to hear, but I'm telling someone who is not my customer. And so, be brave, find your people that can, you know, give you that support, that feedback, that's your customer, you know, whether it's a best friend or whatever. And just set hours. So when they're napping, when the kids are napping, you know, work during naps, but when they wake up, don't be upset that they wake up. because they always will. They're always going to wake up, and it's good that they're waking up.
oh my God.
But, you know, and just exercising that, that mental strength, to be grateful to work from home and to have that perspective of, you know, we are so lucky to have the option to work from home or to work outside of the home. Because we do, we wake up to clean water every day. We have the freedom to choose what our day will be. And just, I think just having a perspective of baby steps is a good thing. You know, choosing family and prioritizing our time, that's everything. And that's what life's all about. So all the other things will come into place, and, just be brave, ladies.
Those are all fantastic points, Bobby. Thank you so much for your advice. I can tell that you have a lot of expertise in some in a lot of these areas. I'm kind of dying to have you back on and dig into some of these things in more detail. But for now, I must cut it short.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, no, I'm really happy to have talked with you. And I hope that I did a good job of exploring this topic with you, because I feel like you have a lot to offer, and I'm really thankful and appreciative of that. So thank you again, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Celine. Have a really great day.
So that concludes the episode. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate you very much. Just a reminder, head on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Bobby. We've put together detailed show notes with highlights from the episode, and you won't want to miss the accompanying photo essay. If you've enjoyed the show so far, subscribe in either iTunes or Stitcher, and please share your review and feedback. It means a lot to us. This podcast is created by Pure Green Magazine. Go to puregreenmag.com to pick up a copy of our latest issue or to subscribe. Keep having an awesome day, and see you next week.